And welcome back, guys, to Punchlines in Politics, Episode 2. Once again, I'm Josh.
And I'm Braden. All right, and today we are going to be talking about the not-so-controversial topic of freedom of religion in America, but a more controversial topic in gun control and gun rights and laws.
And today, joining us, we have a special guest from out where I go to school, my roommate, Ethan Langan.
Hey, guys.
All right, well, we're very excited to have you, Ethan, on the show. We love having your input. I know that the three of us, we have often had wonderful conversations on these topics, and I can't wait to get together once again to discuss it.
This time for the world to hear. So we let Ethan pick the first topic, and he chose the, you know, slight, not that big of a deal of gun control. So
slight.
Very slight. So Braden, our residential conservative, why don't you start us off? Give us a lowdown of what it is and see where you go.
Absolutely. Well, to start off my little spiel, my little soliloquy on gun control, I'm going to start off with this. Shall not be infringed. I believe that is the absolute wording, the verbatim wording of the Constitutional Second Amendment. Shall not be infringed. Now, many people today say, oh, what does that really mean? Well, I have a pretty good answer for that. Shall not be infringed means exactly what it means. Shall not be infringed. Now, many people would disagree with me on this and say, oh, well, it was a different time. It was a different time when the framers constructed this Constitution. Therefore, the Second Amendment is no longer applicable to our society. But to that I say, absolutely not. Our framers were very smart. In fact, so smart that several of our amendments really did last time, the sands of time, and in fact it applies now than it ever did before. And I would even argue that the Second Amendment is in that realm of thought, is that it is just now about as applicable as it was back in 1776 when we were signing a Declaration of Independence against a tyrannical, overpowering empire who was trying to take away our rights and trying to take away our weapons so that we could not fight back.
One could even argue that it's even more important today than it was back then.
And I would agree with that. I would agree with that. But going over my argument, I also want to discuss how in Lexington and Concord, the shot heard round the world, a big part of U.S. history, the reason that battle went down was because the British were trying to get to our guns, was trying to get to the guns of the Minutemen in Lexington and Concord. And they were trying to take them away so that the Patriots would not be able to fight back, at least not well enough. I'm looking at the empire that was the British. They had access to all the weapons and technology that the New World had to offer. So looking at it today from a standpoint where you're looking at shall not be infringed, right? And I believe this. I think that we need to be extremely careful about how we are changing our gun laws today. Now, do I think that some deranged lunatic who is a criminal, has a criminal record, do I think that they should be able to have guns? Well, it depends on the context. Normally, I would say no. I think that they have committed a crime. They have surrendered the right to own a firearm in most cases. Now, if a correctly rehabilitated criminal comes back into our society and the judge that oversaw his case can confidently say that he has been rehabilitated, absolutely his right should be reinstated to own that firearm.
I think I would jump in right there and just say that I think it also depends on the type of crime they committed.
It does.
If it's like a non-violent offender, I would not see like a ban on him. But like violence offense, you don't want to like give them the chance to use another weapon in that act of violence.
Absolutely. But again, that is circumstantial. And I have, nothing against a circumstantial, let me put it this way, a situation in which it would be dangerous to have a person with a firearm with that record, with that rap sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a bit of a more, that's more rockier territory as far as shall not be infringed goes. But as a whole, I would argue, shall not be infringed, pretty clear. But there are certain things, as a more moderate conservative, I would say there are certain modifications that can be done to weapons that make them more dangerous and also do not apply to the Second Amendment.
Because technology has changed from, you know, back in 1776. Like, and we're not dealing with the same. Yeah.
Yeah. However,
the basic truth of that is still truth.
I would, yes, that is exactly what I would argue. And I do not think, I thought the framers knew very well that technology was going to get better. I mean, you look at Benjamin Franklin, and he was already making groundbreaking discoveries even before the revolution came to pass.
Yeah. So let's head over to our guest, Ethan. Why don't you give us a quick rundown of how you're feeling?
Yeah, so I would say that generally speaking, owning a firearm is no issue for the average American citizen. I think it's totally fine in most cases. I personally am not, I'm not sure of the reasoning behind wanting certain types of firearms, such as, you know, like fully automatic rifles or anything like more high caliber. I don't see the practicality of it, I guess. So the guns that make sense to me personally are handguns, shotguns, and hunting rifles. You know, these guns in particular, I think, have in modern society, a fair and reasonable amount of practical use. For example, handguns and shotguns, I think, would be very good guns for home defense. Shotguns as well for hunting, in the same, which would be in the same category as the hunting rifles. Other than that, in the vast majority of cases, I don't see the purpose of owning anything other than those guns personally. And kind of to come back to one of Braden's points, the entire purpose of the Second Amendment came about because during the Revolutionary War, the British were trying to strip firearms from the colonists, basically force them into being unable to fight for themselves. Today, I mean, the American citizen is so incredibly outclassed by our government's like weaponry and the ability that they have with their weapons. I don't think the American people would stand absolutely no chance, I think, if the like American military was turned on us. Like, they don't even need people to man a number of their weapons, so.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I do see where you're coming from in that, you know, that's kind of going off the technology point we brought up of like the, you know, everything that has to do with the military and like weaponry is different. So it's looking at how far do we take it. And that brings me to, you know, my viewpoint, which I think is going to shock Braden a little bit. If you asked me this question at the beginning of the year, I would have been leaning left. But because of the way that I've seen deterioration in not just like American politics, but world politics, I am becoming extremely libertarian with my gun views. And that,
very interesting.
As a private citizen, you have the right to own, as long as you are qualified and you are willing to go through the correct channels, I don't see any reason that you have the that you wouldn't have the right to own whatever you want as long as you are qualified. And, you know, that past me would have agreed with Ethan in a way that I don't see a practical use for it. But, you know, if the government takes it too far, I would at least like to have an AR rather than a hunting rifle. And yes, they outmatch us 100-to-1 with technology, but so did the British. And they still got their ass kicked.
I see what you mean with saying that the British outclassed the colonists, and that is in a way true, but at the same time, like, they had the same guns. The gun that you used for hunting was the same gun you used for war.
And again, I know exactly where you're going with that.
To put that into perspective a little bit, during revolutionary times, the only reason that the colonists had the same technology and the same weaponry as the British was because the French and Indian War that happened just several decades before was very much relevant, and it gave a lot of weapons to the colonists because the British would bring them over to fight the French, right? Mm-hmm. And so after the French and Indian War, you kind of had the stockpile of warboats, warships.
Not to mention the French financing the colonies against Britain.
Eventually, yes, but the artillery that was left over from the French and Indian War, the muskets, and a lot of there were still a lot of other kinds of weapons that were left over from that. And the British did not just simply take it back. No, they left it there. And why take the time to leave it there when something similar could happen at any moment? The French were still at large. And so you kind of look at that from a historical standpoint, and you can say, oh, you know, you can make the correlation between what would have happened if a French and Indian War wouldn't have happened before our revolution, and it could have been less of a revolution and more of a rebellion.
Yeah. And, you know, to kind of play devil's advocate, because I think Brayden and I are agreeing, I do see Ethan's point in that a single drone could just wipe out a whole neighborhood and the government wouldn't even need to put a boot on the ground. I totally get that. Like, if it came down to it, we would be annihilated. However, that would also breach every single, like, Geneva Code there is. And so unless they wanted to go to world war, I don't think they could do that. So they would have to go boots on the ground, door to door. And they don't have the firepower to do that because that's the military versus the nation. They can't use this technology against the people. That's part of the reason why the Geneva Convention happened.
And you bring up a good point. You and Ethan both bring up a good point that a single military drone could take out thousands of regular American citizens. Your average American citizen has little to no chance against the might of the American military. However, we should not fear the American military because of this. I mean, we haven't for so long. We don't have any need for that. We have the National Guard, which is not nearly as equipped as our military, right? And so if something, some sort of tyranny like that would happen, heaven forbid, of course, the National Guard will be what goes to the streets and inflict martial law. And it's interesting too, because I would like to make a point. The average American citizen should not own an RPG. I'm gonna say that one more time.
Absolutely not.
I'm gonna say this one more time so it's clear. The average American citizen should not own an RPG. The average American citizen should not own a tank. The average American citizen should not own a warthog aircraft. All right, this is basic logic.
the civilians don't have the capacity to, you know, unless you're trained, like, there's no reason for you to have that.
There is a reason why the African citizen does not have access to nuclear codes, okay? It is because these average American citizens are, one, not educated in warfare. The average American citizen is not educated in warfare. I think that's a fair assumption to make.
Yeah.
And secondly, the average American citizen should not be responsible for some weapon that can really do some massive harm on a huge, huge level, right?
Now, I want to make it clear, we're not, like, downplaying, you know, events, the big events of violence that have happened with, you know, tactical weapons. Like, obviously, the Las Vegas shooting was devastating.
Absolutely. And, like,
when weapons are used in a way they're not intended to be used, you know, it can still cause this, but we're talking on, like, a mega scale that these weapons can produce damage.
Right. And I will say, there is a disclaimer here, right? The disclaimer being that all domestic shootings, mass shootings, whether in a school, whether in a concert in Las Vegas, it doesn't matter. It is an absolute travesty. It is an act of terrorism. It is a shameful act of terrorism, and it should never happen.
Before we get too far down the rabbit hole, I wanted to shoot back to Ethan. We talked a lot about, like, you know, not having civilians own, like, huge mass weapons capable of mass damage. I just wanted to go back to you and see what, you know, you thought about what we were saying about that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, in regards to weapons of mass damage, there, I see absolutely no reason for any American citizen to really require those. I mean, the event of, even if that individual has no malicious intent whatsoever, if anyone who does get their hands on that, it is, like, a horrible amount of damage. But I would like to say something in regards to what Braden was just saying, and I'm not quite sure that I agree with the point that I'm about to make, but it is one that I've heard and I'd like to bring up. Gun-free zones, like, statistically speaking, the amount of gun-related crime is statistically speaking higher in gun-free zones than non-gun-free zones. That a number of studies have shown that. I'm not going to refute that. But one point that I've heard is that if the possession or purchase or both of firearms, such as the ones used in a number of mass shootings that happened throughout our country, were illegal or banned in some way, assuming that they didn't acquire it illegally, it would greatly reduce the amount of damage that they're capable of doing.
Are you referring to more of, like, a tactical rifle, like an AR?
More so, yes.
Okay. So like, high-capacity right. weapons. So
the argument that I've heard is that if you make the possession or sale of those types of weapons illegal or banned in some way, then assuming that the weapons that are used are acquired illegally, which I'm not sure would be the case, but assuming that they are acquired legally, or they would have been, making them illegal to have acquired would greatly reduce the amount of damage that is capable of being done. So,
Braden, do you want to talk on that point?
I do slightly.
Right. Like he said, he's not agreeing with it, but it's just
exactly,
a point.
Exactly, it is just a point. I will say this, and this isn't exactly a counter argument, more than just a blanket statement in addition to what you said. By putting a ban on weapons, right, on certain weapons and things like that, maybe certain mods to weapons, The black market is going to have it regardless. If criminals want these things, they will get it. All right. That is a perfect reason why the Second Amendment should absolutely stay and ring true in America. Because you take away guns from the people who actually, from the average law-abiding American citizen, right? You are taking the weapons away from them, but you are not really taking the weapons away from criminals. Criminals will find a way to get weapons, whether it's the black market or any number of avenues to get these weapons. They will get them and they will use them on the public who is now.
And you know what, Brittany? I think you're exactly right with that. Because like I said, when I brought the point up, that's assuming that they would have been purchased legally in the first place. Someone with malicious intent most likely is not going to be going about it the legal way. I have read before, I don't remember the studies, but I have read before that a number of firearms used in violent crime is actually purchased by someone else.
I have read that too. Now, we could talk, about this topic for, forever. There's countless avenues we could go down.
It's a fun topic.
It is. At the end of the day, however, it's boiled down to, American life and American freedom. And where do we draw the line in that?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there is a line that will be perfectly clean. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to find a perfect solution. And I don't think that there ever will be a better solution. I think that there will always be violence, which means there always needs to be someone who can put a stop to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, for the sake of argument, I would like to finish up this topic with one last question for each of us. And that question would be, we all agree that the Second Amendment is at least necessary to some point in America. Some of us might believe that it is absolutely 100% uninfringed. It's a good thing to have. That's more of Josh and I's stance. And then there's Ethan, who thinks maybe there should be some moderations to that amendment. And I am interested to find out how each of you might amend the Second Amendment.
Wow, yeah.
That's a good question.
So that it more applies to the technology and the society, really, that we have today. So, Ethan, why don't you go ahead and hit us with that first.
Very good question.
That is a 10 out of 10 SAT question right there.
Man, that's a tough one to answer, too. So I guess
I can jump in first if you want to think about it.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
Absolutely. Josh, why don't you hit us with yours?
Okay, so I'm having to amend the Second Amendment.
That's right.
So I think what I would do is I would amend it to the point of, American citizens have the right to arm themselves in order to protect their families, their life, and their liberties.
Mm.
And to that capacity can be decided by the American people, so that whatever capacity they are trained or they are knowledgeable, like protected veterans can own automatic weapons because that is something they are trained in. So if I had to change it, I would not necessarily amend the right, but more amend the capacity so that it depends on who you are. That the level that you can go. Does that make sense?
I do like that.
That's a good thought.
Mm-hmm. And that's not supposed to be discriminatory. It's more of like, as a 21-year-old, I shouldn't be allowed to go buy like an automatic AR-15. But someone who's done two tours in Afghanistan, I have no problem with them having one.
Ethan, how about you? I'm curious.
What I think I'll go with is that the American citizen would have the right to bear arms so long as that firearm, trying to figure out my wording real quick. And to figure out the wording to change the amendment itself instead of its implications is incredibly difficult.
You can just give us like a broad concept. You don't have to like completely figure out the wording.
Yeah.
That is a bit more difficult, so, I will say.
Yeah.
I'll go with so for automatic weapons in particular, I would say perhaps one per household.
Other than that,
I mean, the guns that I talked about when I initially told you my thoughts, like handguns, shotguns, hunting rifles, having multiple of those, I wouldn't see an issue with. And I'm going to take a little bit from Josh in that having some of those, you know, higher caliber or higher capacity or automatic or whichever way the American people would want to classify it. Having some of those weapons, I think people should absolutely be properly trained on like how to properly use them and
correct. At like a higher level. Yeah. No, that's really good. I mean, I agree with you in that we should have a limit on how many automatic weapons someone can own. But, you know, it's all about the skill of the person. And, you know, the average person, like a retired SWAT, like I have no problem with them. And to Ethan, kind of going off what I think you were trying to say, is that like you kind of limit a certain type of weapon, but you still keep free range on most in order for like the American people to still have that right. That's is that what you're trying to say? Yeah. So like limiting like a higher capacity weapon, but not completely outlawing it. Okay.
Very interesting. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say my final thoughts on that.
Go ahead. Now,
I'm sure that from what I've said before, you know, during this podcast here, this discussion that we're having, everyone might assume that leave the Second Amendment as is. I think it's perfect. You'd be right, but that's not as interesting. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and change it for the sake of argument and for the sake of.
Well, yeah, your question is if you had to amend it, so you're having to amend it.
And I'm going to have to amend this amendment, hypothetically. And so I'm going to go ahead and do that. I am absolutely going to go ahead and do that. So, I will say this. Shall not infringe is very, very important. I shall keep that. I believe that that is pivotal in maintaining the right to own a firearm, as it applies to the Second Amendment, of course. Now, here's where I might change a few things. I might specify, especially with the new technology that we have today, I might specify that it is out of the question to own weapons that will cause, that the very essence and the very meaning of the weapon at hand is for mass destruction and mass damage.
That's powerful.
So your RPGs, so your tanks, so your any number of like grenades or like sticky bombs or your or heaven forbid you have some sort of homing rocket launcher. All right, hey,
this is not GTA.
This is not GTA, but you know what? It might as well be, right? This world is full of crap, right? This world is full of crap, and there's plenty of ways to find these weapons. Unfortunately, there's many ways. Yeah. And I don't see how having an RPG in the average American home will prevent someone else with an RPG from using that. All right. Now, however, I do think having a shotgun in a household definitely prevents an armed assailant or robber in any American household.
I absolutely believe in every American's right to defend their home and their family. 100%.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And where I might differ with Ethan is I don't think the number of weapons matters as much, because if you really put it, you really put it into account, there could be a lot of weapons that have many different purposes, right? So let's say you don't use a certain handgun for protecting your household or for hunting, but maybe that's just for recreation. Maybe that's, oh, I take that to the firing range and I like to shoot my Glock 9, all right? Like, that makes perfect sense to me. You should be able to own that. Now, in the event that someone breaks into your home, do you have a right to use that Glock 9 on the burglar? Absolutely. Uh-huh. I find no reason why you shouldn't be able to have that. Now, I do think, however, that the Second Amendment does need to specify a little bit more about concealed carry permits.
Oh.
Because concealed carry permits applies to those who wish to take their firearm into public, therefore making you someone who has the ability to cause harm, right? It doesn't always mean that you have malicious intent. It gives you the chance, and it gives you the ability, right? Unchecked, unsupervised, you have a firearm, and there are a lot of people who don't. Now, do I think that should change? Maybe. Maybe more people should have concealed carry permits, but that's up to them, right? It is not the fault of the person who doesn't have a concealed carry permit who walks down the street and gets shot on the sidewalk by someone who has a concealed carry permit or even doesn't. It's not their fault. Of course it's not. It is never the victim's fault in that situation.
No, right? With any sort of violence. And
so, exactly. In any sort of situation with violence, it is never the victim's fault. And I would argue that the Second Amendment needs to do a better job at specifying who gets to take their firearm into public, right?
Yeah.
I believe that it is every single American's civil right to have a firearm in their household to protect themselves. That does not mean that every citizen has the civil right to take their firearm outside of their home into the public.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you.
On the contrary, I do not think for a second that every single person in America should be allowed to take their shotgun outside into public, into a crowd. All right, I think that's ridiculous. I think it's a ridiculous notion, right? Mm-hmm. However, I think the Second Amendment can specify how and who gets to have a concealed carry permit and which firearm you're able to take outside of your home. Now, do you need an AR-15 to roam your streets because you feel endangered for any reason? Well, maybe for a specific reason. That's only if you feel like you or your family or your
property.
Your property. Yes, thank you. Is endangered. Right,
but that's a specific reason.
That's a specific reason, and that does not warrant a concealed carry permit. So, no, I do not think you should be able to take your AR-15 out into public. Mm. What I do think you should be able to have is a Glock 9. I have no problem with that. A handgun, perhaps. Maybe even some sort of semi-automatic pistol.
A collapsible SMG.
Now we're getting into it, anyway. But no, from a broad standpoint, I want to finish with this. I think that everyone should be able to at least apply for a concealed carry permit. That does not mean that every person should have one.
I really like that.
And I think the Second Amendment could do a better job at addressing that, especially during these times where our technology is better and our society has changed quite a bit.
Yeah. That was really good, man. Like, seriously. But let's quickly go into the meme. And then I have one more topic that's a bit more of a rant than it is anything else.
All right. So now we get to move into, this is my favorite segment, actually. the segment that is the memes, the punchlines of our punchlines in politics podcast. And I'm going to go ahead and start off with mine. This is one I like very much. And some people might not get it, but that's okay. It's only funny to me. That's okay. That's whatever. It is a picture of a Minecraft chicken looking directly at the lens of the camera and putting up a giant L shape with his finger and his thumb, putting it next to his chin. And the text of the meme says, "If being sexy was a crime, I'd be a law-abiding citizen."
I like it. I like it.
I resonate with this one very much.
Ethan, go ahead.
So my meme, it's one of my favorites lately. It takes into account the rather high price of the new PS5 gaming console and some of the hilarious quotes from the first presidential debate. And it is some text above the picture that says, "Me coming back from the store without my brother, but with a PS5. My mom, where is your brother? Me, I'm a businessman doing business things."
Oh, that's good.
I saw where that was going.
One of my favorites lately.
That's wonderful.
Mine is less of a specific meme and more of a template. So I recently watched through season 1 and 2 of The Boys. And first of all, there has been so many meme templates. Ethan, wasn't it like 8 or 9 that we saw?
I was watching it with you. I think I recognized, around 8 or 9 different meme templates.
Yeah, 8 or 9. But my favorite is the one where this one guy shoots Homelander, who is basically Superman. And he just raises his hands up and goes, "Oh no, what am I going to do?" And then the next panel is him just blowing the wall up with laser eyes. It's so funny.
I haven't gotten a chance to watch any of The Boys.
Oh, you should.
I have seen that meme template, and I think it's
so funny. The way people have been capturing it, it's like, speaking of the Second Amendment, it's like me shooting the U.S. Army's tank with my BB rifle, and then the tank releasing an inferno blast through my front wall. But yeah, it's so funny. I love that meme so much. All right, so our next topic, moving back into something serious, and this is something that really resonates home. It's something I'm very passionate about, and I know Brayden and Ethan are too. And I just wanted to spend some time talking about the freedom of religion. And I just wanted to give a quick overshadow of why I wanted to talk about this week. While I go to school, in Chicago, and one of my professors pulled up an image. And on it said, in honor of the anniversary of 9/11, we should start banning mosques in America. Now, obviously, this is not an opinion shared by a lot of people. But it really bothered me because as an American, anyone being told that their religion is not okay should hurt you. This is why we came to America. This is why we fought all these battles, is because we wanted the freedom that anyone could come here and practice anything. Yes, the government could have its base in some Judeo-Christian roots, but that does not mean that America is a Christian nation. We are a nation that welcomes all people. And I just wanted to open it up, have you guys, say what you think about, that post and even what you think, freedom of religion means.
I'll start by saying I personally believe that the freedom of religion is one of the absolute most important freedoms that we have in America. I personally believe that the freedom of religion, in essence, is the freedom to believe what you want to believe about the world and how it works. It's the freedom to form your own opinion about some of the larger than life aspects of the world that we live in. And to talk about that post that you said your professor showed, I think that's the very thought is despicable to me. I mean, imagine how so many people would feel if you turned around and said, let's start closing all Christian churches, you know? I mean, I
want to make it clear, this is not an attack on anyone. This is purely a conversation about how everyone has right. the right to practice what religion they want.
I'm trying to make the point right now is that you pick perhaps a larger group in America, such as Christianity, and you say the same thing, and I mean, there would be outrage. And the fact that there isn't about someone saying something like that, at least in this instance, I think is horrible.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and start by saying it really is despicable how hypocritical we can become as a society. And to furthermore that argument that we've become hypocritical, I'd like to point out that, you know, Christianity has a huge impact on American politics and our government.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lot of influence as well on global politics. It really does. And is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, that's up for you to decide.
That's a whole other argument.
That is the truth. that is a whole other argument, but that is the truth. You know, a lot of the morals that come out of a representative democracy, which several countries now have, including America, where we were founded on the morals of Christianity. You know, all of these representative democracies were founded on the morals of democracy. You can look at it in the views of our Lockean government, you know, John Locke and his political theory, and looking at certain governments that are representative democracies and how they can be beneficial. And to go kind of full circle with this, I do not ever think it is right in a country where we claim that all religion and all train of thoughts should be protected under the government, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is shocking to me that that there are certain people who can be so ignorant that as to even claim that a banning of a huge religion in the world be completely obliterated, and mosques being banned in America because of 9/11, which was an attack by a few,
and it was right? a horrific act, and I don't want to downplay that, but
oh, absolutely, and I want to make it very clear that 9/11 to me personally is huge. I think the day should be a national holiday of one, solidarity, and two, sobriety, mm-hmm. right? It is a very sobering day in American history and world history. Really, it is.
Even with the anniversary attack in 2012, you know, at Benghazi.
Absolutely. And Ben, I won't even get into Benghazi. That's a discussion for a different day. Because there's so much about Benghazi. There's so much about Benghazi that I'd like to talk about. I think everyone already knows that if we discuss this in a future podcast episode, they probably already know where I fall on that. You look at people who are Christians, I mean, we've had bad apples throughout all of history.
One could point to the Crusades, right? And you know, that is a sore spot absolutely. On Christianity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one could even say too that the Crusades was the idea, the morals and the ideals of Christianity was kind of used as a ploy mm-hmm. to create the war that was the Crusades. However, I think it is despicable that in America during these times, we can have people who reserve the right to to say, like, the person who created that picture that said that, oh, on the anniversary of 9/11, we should ban all mosques. The essence of America is that you can say that. However, you also have the same right
absolutely.
To be put under extreme criticism because of that. You reserve the right to say that we should ban all mosques. But guess what? The fact that you are saying that, the fact that you are exercising that right to say something so shameful means that you don't deserve it. You will retain that right, but you don't deserve it because you are being so
hateful.
saying something that is so hateful and expecting that anyone is going to treat you like you are some sort of genius, one, or two, reserving of any right of respect.
And I kind of want to piggyback off of what you're saying right now. The freedom of speech is also vitally important, and we are going to cover that in a later episode. That's the same,
that's gonna be
the
good
same
episode.
Amendment as religion. You know, it's vitally important. Mm-hmm. But, and maybe I, you know, took this a little too much to heart, is this simple post on someone's Facebook who maybe doesn't even have that many followers. But when you look at the world, I tend to be a little bit more introspective, and I'm wondering, like, in my own life, how have I seen things, and that, how is it portrayed to me? How's Islam, or how is Christianity, or how is Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, how are they portrayed? And in America, you have the right to say what you are going to say. I believe that's fundamental. But when it comes to, you know, saying something about a group of people, I don't understand how you can have that view if you claim to be an American. Because your whole constitution that you swear by is built around the fact that Braden, Ethan, and I have the right to practice any religion we want, no matter what. Even if it's different, if it's the same, we have that right. And there is nothing that should piss off an American more than someone trying to say that someone's First Amendment right
because
doesn't
part
matter.
Of that too is that every single religion should be protected to the same extent.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree.
And with Braden's point, the modern day laws are built off of the Judeo-Christian, like, Ten Commandments. There are roots of Christianity in a lot of government. But the founders still found it important to protect all other religions. Like, America does not have a national religion, even though we took parts of Judeo-Christianity and made it into the government. That's how important it is. And I think that's what you were getting at, Braden.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would like to say, just real quick, I would like to say that in Judeo-Christian scriptures, right, there is support for a government that is set up where there is a separation between church and state, which is what America had. And that is always, well, not always. I will say that is very rarely recognized by certain people, that although America might have some Christian morals that it was based upon, those Christian morals that kind of developed into the separation of church and state, you know, that is actually a part of Christian beliefs, true Christian beliefs, those who actually take the Bible for what it is. And Judeo teachings would also agree with that there should be a separation of church and state, because no one should be forced into those beliefs.
Exactly. And, you know, when you look at it from a viewpoint of, you know, not putting what you think is right ahead of everything else, because I think that's something we struggle with as Americans. You know, we're number one. We want to be number one. And you can be proud of your faith. That is absolutely perfectly okay. Proclaim it from the rooftops. But don't step on someone else's right to do the same thing, especially not when the acts of a few, because they don't represent the acts of them all. That is something so dangerous to say that everyone who believes in Islam is a terrorist. Like, that is disgusting because not everyone who's a Christian believes some of the things that extremist Christians do, you know, and not everyone who identifies or is Jewish believes everything that some extreme Christians do or Jewish people do. Wow. I messed that up. But everyone has the right to practice whatever religion they want, regardless of who you are, what you believe, anything. And I know Ethan is really passionate about this. We've had conversations about this before, not as much because of religion, but more of because of, I know he's a strong believer in the First Amendment. And I don't know. I really was interested in how you would respond to that, Brayden.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to make this point. That is the graciousness of the institution that is America, right? That we all have the right to have these ideas, though they may be offensive, though they may even be incorrect. Like, you cannot make a general. You shouldn't make a generalization about people of the Islamic faith. However, you can in America the same way as you can make a generalization about anything. And the essence of that is that opinions should always be heard out, right? There should be no suppression of any type of opinion, no matter how offensive, no matter how hateful, no matter how wrong, right? Opinions should always be heard out, because the essence of having opinions that might be wrong or might be offensive is that they can be corrected through discussion through other people's opinions.
Like we're doing right now.
So you have people, exactly. It is the right to discussion that makes the First Amendment so beautiful.
You can't learn if you never talk.
Exactly. And if you never have other people to be able to talk about it to you, you can never have the opportunity to graciously have your opinion potentially be changed. Mm-hmm. And that is also a perfect example. Is you with
you and I have had these conversations.
Your experiences and your discussion. Not necessarily saying that our opinion is any right or wrong. In comparison to
but it changed
opinion on the Second Amendment, but it changed, and you had the grace to change. You had the opportunity to change that opinion, and that is why the First Amendment is so insanely important. Because not only does it apply to speech, it also applies to religion. Being able to change your religion and be able to change your ideals, or even be able to say to shout your religion on the top of your rooftops, you know. That is all protected under the First Amendment, and that's why it is so
I'd say personally that the First Amendment, if you took the entirety of it and summed it up, it is effectively the freedom of free thinking. Without the protections that we have under the First Amendment,
absolutely,
we don't have the protections necessary to think for ourselves and form our own opinions on anything at all.
I think it's honestly the right to be human. The right to be free is, you know, like what you're saying, it is the right to be a living, free thinking person.
There's a reason it's number one in the Bill of Rights.
Now keep going. I think you had a point there, Ethan.
Freedom of religion, freedom of speech, all of it really boils down to thinking what you want to think about the world. And without having someone suppress that, you know? I mean, to say that a certain religious group isn't allowed to practice their religion in our country is to say that no one is allowed to have those thoughts. And that is absolutely 100% in all cases wrong.
That's suppression. But I mean, to go off of Braden's point, they still have the right to say that. But in that context, that just gives them the right to be
absolutely
wrong.
And
that's all it is.
You know, having an opinion does not inherently mean that you are correct on the topic. I mean, in the particular area of religion.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the number of religions that are that exist in the world are, and what they say are a number of them quite contradictory. So to assume that any one is by default correct without any way to truly factually back it up is just incorrect, you know?
And I think that's the essence of the freedom of religion, is that you can't say something is correct because there's no way to prove it. You just give the right for people to have their opinion on it.
Opinion and religion and thought, not science here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Braden, it sounded like you had something you wanted to say.
Oh, no. In fact, I think that wraps it up pretty neatly, right with the bow, I think. Unless either of you have anything more to add on our discussion about the freedom of religion.
No, I think I've said my piece.
One thing that I had thought when you were talking earlier that, you guys were going on the roll. I didn't want to interrupt you at the time. But when you were talking about how a good number of the morals that our country was founded on were founded upon Christian morals is true in so far as that Christianity is likely what the majority of our forefathers believed. I just want to say that not all those morals that they were based on are not exclusive to Christianity.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. You're 100% right.
I think Braden and I were more speaking to the founders' papers that they wrote in describing how they would bring up the law, is that they were using, like, these morals are just Christians, like, at all. We are simply saying, like, the founders legitimately took that and forged it into the government.
Right, and
that is the only similarity personally there.
That, you know, just because they gained they brought this from Christianity in particular does not mean that it could not have been found elsewhere.
I mean, one of the five pillars of Islam is, you know, charity and giving to those less fortunate, which I would say is a huge part of Christianity and Judaism. They all are very interconnected when you look into the deeper parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was a really good point.
Right. And Ethan makes a good point because, yeah, he really does. He kind of just call out that thought that the ideals, though Christian in stature, are not completely exclusive as far as morals go, right? America was formed under Christian morals simply.
The founders happened to be Christian.
The founders happened to be Christian, and they thought that the Christian morals really did apply to what they believed to be a working source of government. Right, the representative democracy with the separation of state, church and state. And I'd like to point out what Ethan said was that it is not exclusive to the Christian ideals.
Right.
However, it does associate with it based upon the background
and
of the founders.
If you took any other religion and kind of fixed it in to where Judeo-Christianity is in the kind of foundation, there would be changes, but more or less, I think Ethan's just trying to say that it would still hopefully protected the same, is that like the when you boil it down to just the essence of it, I would simply say that a lot of them, while sharing core beliefs, are only different in
and my point
the outside
essentially, you know? Was if you boil it down, you know, the certain morals that were drawn upon by our forefathers, they could have come from any number of religions. It just so happens to be Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's really good, honestly. So I think Braden had an announcement before we sign off for this episode.
I do indeed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. I need to plug our Twitter. No. Punchlines in Politics is now on Twitter, and we are happy to say that we have many tweets that both include some comedy and some politics. Hence, Punchlines in Politics. So go ahead, get on there, check us out, give us a follow if you are so inclined. However, we do have a bit of announcement for potential followers. In between the next time that we make a episode, we will be choosing at random one of our newer followers to join us for a segment on Punchlines and Politics. So go ahead and give us a follow, and hopefully you'd be able to share with us some of your views on our next.
Also, hit us up on Twitter, like if you have something you'd want us to talk about, or if you want us to bring Ethan back for another episode. I know I can tell.
Oh, heaven forbid.
I can tell that, like, you know, he had fun, but like I definitely want to bring him back. But just, you know, let us know what you guys would like to hear us talk about if there's something that interests you. Yeah, give us a like, and then I hopefully we'll have one of you on the show next time. So that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. And if any of you DM Punchlines and Politics Twitter, right, saying you don't want Ethan on the show again, too bad, so sad.
We're he'll be on in like a couple weeks at most.
He'll be on. Your opinion will only be counted as correct. If you DM us,
you have the freedom of speech to say you don't want to come. However, we reserve the right to say screw you.
Exactly. Perfect. Exactly. But yeah, once again, like I said, go ahead and follow us on Twitter at Punchlines. Please go ahead, give us a quick follow if you are so inclined. DM us if you'd like, and don't forget to like our content. We are very, very much so wanting to see your love or your hate, depending on what you think.
We're really excited about this project, like seriously.
Nonetheless, we would love to hear your input and some of your feedback on Punchlines and Politics as a podcast. And yeah, just to kind of give us all a nice and wholesome ending, I'm going to finish with another meme. So I have to. This one's too good not to pass up, right? All right. So this meme is supposed to be a cover for a Xbox One game, right? And it shows a picture of Arbiter, an alien character from the
saga. I've seen this. This is funny.
And he's looking at a computer in a library, right? And the title of the game is such: Halo 7. Arbiter commits tax fraud. And I think this is a very current and I think politically fused meme.
I do love tax fraud.
Do me a favor. Don't be like Arbiter, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be like Arbiter. Pay your taxes.
So we will see you guys next time. Hopefully a little bit sooner than this episode came out. This one took a little while. But hit us in the DMs. Let us know what you want us to talk about. I think we're going to tackle speech next time. And I think I would also like to talk about
The Fifth Amendment.
The Fifth Amendment, which I think will be an interesting conversation. So we'll see you guys next time.
Absolutely.
Thanks for
listening.
And hopefully see you soon.